This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, this is Amy Harrison, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. Today, we're getting all emotional because it's one of the best ways to get people's attention and inspire them to take action. Now, using emotion isn't about being over the top, and yes, you can and should use emotion even for the driest of topics. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. So, are you ready to engage your audience using influential emotions? Then let's hit publish. I like to start the show by giving a shout out to some listener comments, and this one came from the show on writing multiple magnetic tweets. So Gareth wrote in to say, "I don't always crack up laughing when I'm learning about content marketing. Here I do though. Making good content is hard enough, promoting it can be a mental monstrosity. Thank you for being awesome!" Exclamation mark. Well, Gareth, you get 12 content marketing points there for leaving such a lovely comment. And yes, it can be hard to consistently create and promote content, but trust me, if you want to get the word out about you and your business, it is one of the best ways to do it. So next, let's move on to the word of the week. This week's word is argy-bargy, which is chiefly British, and it means to have a vigorous discussion or debate on a subject. So that is argy-bargy, which sounds particularly comical with my East Yorkshire accent, so listen out for that word. It's hidden somewhere in today's podcast, and when you hear it, I'd like you to clap your hands with excitement and high-five the person next to you. Today's show, as always, is inspired by a Dear Amy letter from a Hit Publish listener. So remember, if you want to be featured on a future episode, simply write your question in the comments or contact me, hello@writewithinfluence.com. Dear Amy, I've heard that using emotion in your writing or content can be a good way to get people engaged, but I'm not sure how this works. It's not like I want my readers to be crying when they read my content, so how do I use emotion to get people's attention without going over the top? Yours, happily, sadly, angrily, anxiously, bemusedly, Darren. Well, Darren, this is a great point because it's something that I often take for granted when I write sales copy for clients. But there is a process behind using emotion and targeting different emotions in your writing, especially in your marketing. The first thing you need to understand is this: all decisions are based on emotion. So if you're trying to influence someone or get them to make a decision about something, try out a product, sign up to a newsletter, that decision will be based on emotion. And this includes buying decisions. And it doesn't just relate to products or services where emotions are closely associated with the target market. So, for example, people frustrated or upset about wanting to lose weight and get fit, or the excitement that goes with maybe a trip to Disney World. It's also true for more serious purchasing decisions. Big business software, computing products, even stationery is chosen based on some kind of emotional decision. Now, diving into why this is could easily fill a whole 100 episodes on its own, but here's the high-level, rapid-fire version. As humans evolved, our brains expanded to be able to process rational thoughts, logic, and language. And the evolution of these new parts of the brain are a big part of what makes us so different to animals. Now, before this point, when we were more primitive, our brains were unable to process language, only emotions, and our decisions revolved around survival. Were we in danger? Did we need to find food? Should we run away from something that looked scary? So because we were unable to process language, we didn't say to ourselves, "Oh, I think I might be in danger. Oh, I think I'm hungry." Instead, we felt something, and this feeling, this emotion, would influence our actions. If we felt in danger, if we were afraid, we would move or react. If we felt content, relaxed, calm, then we would slow down, relax, and settle. Our lives were controlled, and our decisions were controlled by our emotions. I am so happy here on this little island. Got a nice little waterfall, some great fruit, the sun is shining, little gin and tonic going. Perfect. Hey, Amy, I'm thinking of moving over to explore another part of the island. Do you want to come? Why would I do that? Well, there might be some new fruit or a different type of waterfall, maybe some new scenery. No, I think I'm good here. Well, if you change your mind, just head over. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure I'm perfectly happy here. All right then, bye-bye. I can't ever imagine a reason I'd move away from here. Amy, wait up, I'm coming. The funny thing is, we are still controlled in the same way today. That primitive part of our brain didn't go away, it's still there. It's called the limbic system, if you want to do some further research. It still dictates our decisions. The only difference is that our new brain, the one that deals with rational thought and language, creates this story around our decision. Often, this happens after we have made our decision. So if you've ever experienced intuition or gut instinct that made you want to do something that you couldn't explain, it's probably because your old brain has been stimulated in some kind of way that wants to make a decision, but your new brain hasn't caught up and prepared a rational story for the decision just yet. You may have also experienced the opposite, where your gut instinct tells you to run away from a situation, and yet your rational brain manages to talk you into it. Gosh, a first date. I'm so excited. I mean, he's a little bit late, but it's probably traffic. Oh, there he is. Sup? You look much hotter than your profile photo. I almost didn't come. I thought you were going to be a right munter. I mean, you're not as hot as the last girl I dated, but she was mental. It's a strange thing to say. Still, it was a compliment, I guess, so that's nice. Anyway, sorry I'm late. I had to, work late. I've got a really good job, you see. Oh, well, he's obviously got a good work ethic and ambition is good. Funny, he smells a little bit like perfume. Oh, he was probably just standing close to someone on the underground. Sorry, love, I've got to get this. Here, just take a photo of you, will you? She wants a picture of me. Oh, okay. Who is it? Oh, it's my sister. A sister? Wonder why she wants to know what her brother looks like. That doesn't feel right. Oh, ignore it, Amy. You've been single too long and it seems like a good catch. Stick with it. You're just being paranoid. I'm so happy to get married. Now, where did he go? I think I saw him following that waitress out. He's probably checking on the catering. He's so thoughtful. Damn it! Why didn't I listen to my gut instinct? Knowing that emotions influence people's decisions is important, especially true with buying decisions. Sometimes this is more obvious because your audience or your clients might tell you, you know, if they're upset or they're overwhelmed. Sometimes it's a bit more subtle. So an IT manager, for example, might tell you that he's looking for X features and Y widgets, but behind those details will be motivating emotions. Frustrations with the current system that doesn't work as well, for example. Now, features are still very important because they help build credibility. But to get the attention and to engage with your reader, you've got to understand the underlying emotions that surround their problem and that motivate them to take action or want to find out more, because this helps you identify what's really important to your customer or your reader. So the mistake that a lot of businesses make when writing content for their marketing, for example, is assuming that their prospect wakes up in the morning thinking about what they have to offer. So an email marketing company might think that their customer has daydreams that go like this. If only I had an all-in-one email marketing solution for my small business to let me manage up to 1,000 email addresses for only £5 a month. Wonder what I'll have for breakfast. What happens when the company creates their content is that that's the kind of details that they lead with. But the customer is more likely to be thinking along these lines and notice the use of emotions. I'm sick and tired of spending so much time and effort marketing without seeing results. got another long day ahead of writing blogs, sharing content, and the frustrating thing is I don't even know if what I'm doing is working. I feel embarrassed. It's like I'm throwing my marketing out there and then just hoping blindly that it works. I wish it was easier to find perfect customers and focus my efforts on them rather than wasting time writing to people never buy anyway. That would be so much more rewarding and fun. Now, in this case, an email marketing system that lets a small business collect email addresses from interested people and then keep in touch with them, build a relationship and send offers is going to help them. But to engage them and get their attention at the start, that's going to work more if you start by talking about the problem and how they feel about the problem and then explain how your solution will help. So which emotions relate to your customer and their problem? There's three things I want you to think about which will help you begin to use emotions when you write your content. One, what emotions does your customer have about their current problem? Two, what are the sources of those emotions? And three, what emotions do they want to feel? To get ideas for emotions, there is a list that contains the main negative and positive emotions as classified by the Human-Machine Interaction Network on Emotion, and I'll link to this in the show notes. But for the first part, what emotions do they have around their current problem? Well, these might include ones that are negative and forceful, anger, for example, or negative but feeling not in control, such as anxiety. So look through that list and highlight the emotions that you think correspond most closely to how your customer is feeling before they've solved their problem. Next, identify possible reasons behind those emotions. So for example, let's say your customer or your reader is a small business owner and you offer business coaching advice. Some of the emotions that might feel might be frustration and fear. And the reason behind those, let's take frustration, it might be because they're working so hard and they're not seeing any results, or they're unable to work out why some businesses succeed whilst others fail and they're struggling. Or frustration that what used to be fun when they first started now feels like a chore. And for fear, it might be around not knowing how they're going to pay the bills, or the fear that they may have to stop their business and give up on their dream. Now, once you've got those down, so the emotions that they're feeling now and the causes behind those emotions, think about the emotions that they want to feel. And again, you can use the emotions list in the show notes to see how customers want to feel when the problem is out of their lives. And again, you'll find them categorized. So for example, positive and lively emotions might include amusement or delight, or positive thoughts might be courage and pride. Now, these lists are just starting points. So brainstorm and write down as many as you can think of. The more variety you have, the more lively and interesting your content will be without writing the same 2 to 3 emotions again and again throughout. So now that you have these details, how can you use this in your content? Well, there's many ways to weave emotions into your content. You can use stories. You can describe their current situation and frustrations, or paint a picture of what their life could be like after you help them. Knowing where your customer is, how they feel, and where they want to be will help you write content that shows you understand their situation. And this can really help build a connection to your audience, make them more likely to trust you. Now, a great way to start experimenting with emotion is in things like headlines, tweets, social media, or on short snippets of content such as Facebook ads or other banner ads. And a very simple method of testing the water is to ask your customer a question about an emotion they are currently feeling or want to feel and the cause behind that emotion. For example, feeling stressed about planning a wedding? Download our free checklist to keep you calm and on track. Worried about social media etiquette? Our 10-part guide makes sure you always look professional. Ever wondered what a stress-free day at work looks like? Our organisation tips can get you there. I definitely encourage you to use emotion in your content because it's a great way to build a stronger connection to your reader. It also makes your content stand out compared to someone who is just writing about the facts. Hey Amy, do you want to watch The King's Speech? It's a new film. Sounds rubbish. What's it about? It's about a king, has to give a speech, but he has a stutter, so he gets help to fix his stutter. That sounds terrible. No, I don't want to watch that. Compare that to What's it about? Well, this prince is forced to become a king when his brother abdicates. He's terrified of the attention, especially as he's got this stammer. So anytime he gives speeches, it's just embarrassing. But the nation needs a strong leader because the country is on the verge of war. People are uncertain and frightened and need reassurance. Knowing there's no way he can be king and have a stammer, he goes to a therapist. But this guy, totally unorthodox, uses strange and unusual methods. And the king can't stand him. There's a lot of argy-bargy and drama, and it's not even clear whether he's going to be able to pull it off and be the leader his country needs. All right, fine, I'll watch it. But you're buying the popcorn. So here's my question to you. Do you have the emotions listed for your audience? Do you know how they're feeling now? What causes that, and more importantly, how they want to feel? If not, put a 30-minute slot in your calendar this week to jot down your ideas and then commit to trying out some emotional content writing. Thank you for being a wise Hit Publish listener. If you found this useful today, I'd love it if you popped over to iTunes and left a rating and review. It takes just a few minutes, but if you do leave a rating and review, you're 62% more likely to wake up on the right side of the bed in the morning. Cracking. Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week, so until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.